Series in the book of Jonah. And how many of you have had plans that were really great in your mind and you were so excited about them and you said, this is how my week's going, this is where I'm going? I imagine Jonah's life was a little bit like that. That he thought that he knew the direction the Lord was calling him to. In fact, Jonah wasn't someone who had probably not endured suffering or hardship as well as we're going to go through. And can I tell you, this morning I came in here with a lot of agendas in my own heart and mind. I'm like, Lord, we're going to kick off this new kids ministry. Okay, half our teachers are sick. Lord, I'm so excited for worship, and the worship team did a great job, but the sound system isn't working. Lord, okay, I'm going to spend 45 minutes in just prayer and bask in your glory in my office. Well, you know, that did not quite happen. And it's interesting, as I was praying about it, and the Beckers were kind enough, and Bob Laurie, to pray for me, the Lord hit me with Jonah's whole purpose and a prophet's whole, I'm not calling myself a prophet, okay? I just want to make that clear, was to be a messenger for the Lord, and it really did not matter about that person. That person mattered to God because they're made in his image, but God's word is what mattered. And so this morning, my prayer is that we would be set aside and realize our value and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we go through, I want to start off with a quote. And if you've ever read through the book of Jonah, it's one of my favorite books. And in Jonah, God calls him to do something that he isn't comfortable with. And I've probably taught on this 3 or 4 times over the years. And one of the things that I've missed, though, is that there's a lot of pain and baggage in Jonah's heart that goes on. How many of us carry that pain and baggage, right? And we need to lay it at the foot of the cross. And God has this great plan that he wants to include Jonah in. And do you know that the Lord wants to use you and I to reach the lost? Isn't that cool? That the creator of the universe, the one that creates everything. In fact, Mary did a great job of sharing last week about forgiveness, right? That we need to learn to forgive. And yet, a lot of times, individually and as a church, we can walk in shackles instead of freedom. This wasn't part of my planned message, so just take that for what it's worth, all right? But this quote by David Garland says, before God sends his judgment, he sends his preachers to call the people to repentance so that they may escape. One of these was Jonah, the Billy Graham of his day. Do you know the Lord is gracious and compassionate? Jesus says he wishes that no one would perish, but all would come to repentance, which means that all would turn from their sin and follow him. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who loves us so much that he would lay down his own life for us? Yet there's this thing that God gives us called free will, that we choose to receive him or reject him. So some background to the book of Jonah that we may not be aware of is that Jonah was actually from Gath Hepher, which is actually 2 miles north of where Jesus was from in Nazareth, that he is actually from that same region and same area. Now, one of the things you may not realize or know about this, although I did hear that Matt shared about this a few years back a little bit, is that the Assyrians had come through probably when Jonah was a kid through that area. And they had beheaded people, they had skinned them alive, and they tortured the Israelites. And so Jonah could have woken up and seen some of that around him. Now, Jonah was most likely had grown up seeing the Assyrians behead and torture many of his fellow Israelites as a child, or at least he had heard about it. They were known for being cruel and vicious to their victims, even skinning them alive. Next thing that we know is that he grew up in a time of great nationalism and prosperity under King Jeroboam. As a result, the foreigners were looked as complete outcasts. So part of what happens is in Israel's history is the children of God, they would say, God, we repent. We are the ones wrong. And God would bless them, and they would go for this time of prosperity. And then they would turn their backs away from God, and what would happen? They'd be sold back into slavery or bondage again. How many of you have seen that in your own life, right? You think you conquered something, and then once you take your eyes off Jesus, you start sinking back. Well, the children of Israel would go through this time and time again, but now there's this anger and there's hatred towards others because of what had happened to them. Do you know that God's chosen people can sometimes really screw up, right? And I'm one of them. Also, Jonah was also contemporary of Amos, Hosea, and Joel, and Isaiah, and could have even been a disciple of Elisha. And so you're looking at this great lineage that Jonah would have seen the power of God move. And if Elisha was really one of those people who had built into his life, or he had at least been surrounded with, he would have heard about Elijah's powerful defeat of the prophets of Baal, right? He would have heard about how God had used him in all these mighty ways. And there was also an uprising of people speaking and proclaiming God's truth during this time. See, Jonah's first messages were probably to the children of Israel. And he had probably preached and proclaimed many things to them. One of the things that we know about the great city of Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Now, it's interesting. When I was at Malone, one of my professors said, well, one of the reasons why I don't think the Bible is inerrant is because it says that it was a 3-day journey for Jonah. It's just one city. It's not that big. Well, when it refers to the great city, it's referring to a metropolis. It's like saying, I'm going to Cleveland, but I'm also going to Strongsville, and I'm going to Parma, or I'm going to Sandusky, and I'm going, you know, to Hartville, and I'm going to Alliance, all right? So there's three or four that were always included in that. But also, God is calling him to the very people that killed some of his family members and friends. How many of us have heard the story before, read it, and never thought about, there's probably some pain there. And so this is the center of the Syrian world and evil. And as Israel prospered, what ends up happening is the Syrians were now declining, and they had turned to cruelty on one another. No longer are they attacking the Israelites, or no longer are they attacking those right around them, but they're actually causing harm to one another. So for the Jews, they're probably thinking, this is great. They're killing themselves off now. They're not harming us, right? For us, it's in the Middle East. It doesn't really affect us. Let them do what they want. Or it's in the inner city. It doesn't really affect us. What's interesting is in our kids' ministry on Wednesday night, we showed a video clip of a ministry that's taking place in Central Asia. And we had the kids look at the video and see the people in Central Asia and what are the same things, what are the difference. And when I said, what is the same thing, past 2 weeks, want to know what the number one answer from kids were? They're people. They're made in God's image. They have value. They have purpose. That God loves them. Now, these are people that may hate God at the time, or they're angry, or they hate America, or they hate other things, but they're still people made in the image of God. Amen? So now we turn to Jonah, our prophet. And our first thing that we're going to look at is Jonah running away from God's presence and calling. If you're angry at God, our first instinct is to run away. Isn't that weird? Where do you think that thought comes from? See, Satan would love anything to distract us from following God. But let's read these verses together, and we're just going to read from verse 3 to start off here. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you this? Whenever I am far away from God or I don't feel his presence, it's never been God's fault. It's always been some sin, some arrogance, some pride, something in my life that is blocking me from hearing God clearly, that Dan Kenyon has all these great visions of what God wants me to do, that sometimes we don't even ask God, what do you want me to do? What does God want New Baltimore Community Church to do? A few things that we see in here as Jonah runs away from God. The first point of this in verse 1, the word of Yahweh is used. Yahweh is the highest reference to God. This is a direct command. This is saying, hey, if the Lord is commanding you, this is God's highest title of reverence. As a prophet of the Lord who has preached repentance to the children of Israel and given messages, Jonah should have known, right? How many of us agree that it's easier to tell other people what to do than to tell ourselves sometimes? God was speaking to the prophet. He wasn't stuttering. He wasn't mumbling. God clearly told him what to do. And I just wonder, what are some of the things God is speaking to us in New Baltimore? Maybe it's to forgive that person that's wronged us, or maybe it's to ask for forgiveness for the person that we have wronged. The other thing is, when God speaks, his people are to listen. Why? Not just because he's God and he deserves our respect. He deserves our listening and the authority he is due, but also because his plan is always good for us. Whenever I warn my kids, it's not just because I want to take away their fun, right? I'm not like, don't run in the road, right? I'm not trying to steal their fun. It's because I love them. Also, we look at Jonah's name and the significance that he has. Jonah's name actually means dove. What can anyone tell me, what is the significance of dove in another? There's lots of places, but think back to Genesis. What was a dove used for? The ark. God had Noah send out a dove to see if there was dry land, if there was fertile land. Could it have been that God wanted to bless Jonah so much by being a part of this to see if there was fertile land in Nineveh? The hearts wanted to be changed. And guess what? God knew, because he foreknows everything. He knows everything. The other thing is, his paternal name, Amidi, actually meant truth or faithfulness. So Jonah was supposed to be a messenger to seek out if the land is fertile, and also to proclaim God's truth. This name was given to him at birth. The other thing we see is, the Lord gives Jonah a direct command. He was to go out and speak against the evil that was going on in the land. Now, a lot of scholars believe that in part, Jonah would have delighted in this, telling the people how evil and wicked they were. Some people think that he would have been afraid that they would have caused harm to him. But if we see later on, Jonah was sort of a nihilistic. He was sort of like, Lord, just take my life. Why wouldn't he just take his own life? Well, because in the Jewish culture, if you took your own life, it was the worst sin, and it meant you were condemned to hell forever. So Jonah knew the game. Guys, don't we sometimes know the Christian game? What words to say, what not to. And I'm talking my own heart. God doesn't sugarcoat sin ever in calling people to repentance. We can tell people, God loves you, he cares for you, amen, he does, but he has more for us. See, there's two different cultures in our church today, and actually, I read a book by Tim Keller, which I really didn't like, but I did like this one part in it. And Tim Keller says this: there's people who want to preach God's grace and mercy only and leave out repentance. And then there's people who only want to preach repentance and condemnation but leave out God's grace and mercy. It is both and. That when you come to the foot of the cross, there's freedom, amen? And there's joy. But God never says, hey, every time he heals someone, he doesn't say, you keep doing what you do. You keep being a prostitute, okay, and keep going for. No, he says, go and sin no more. With the Pharisees, he challenged them to not be hypocritical. Why? Because he cares about hearts. The other thing we see is, the Lord sees everything. The Lord saw what was going on in Nineveh. How many of you stress out about what's going on in the world today? All the bills that are being passed or not passed, or the world. Do you know that God sees it? And is he not more powerful than you and me? Man, then what are we getting by stressing by it? Fourth thing is that Jonah's first response was to flee in the opposite direction. What we see is that Joppa was the main port, not poor, okay? It helps if you learn how to type, okay? Main port, whose name meant beautiful. He sees this evil, wicked place in Assyria, in Nineveh, and he says, I'm going to go to this beautiful port that is lush, it's kind. They love us as Jews. It's going to be great. How many of us love to be around people that love us, right? No one says, you know what? I can't wait to go to be with people who hate me. Now, when I went into the middle schools and high schools, sometimes it felt a little bit like that at times. But here's the thing. He goes to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles away in the southern part of Spain. It was the furthest known part to Israelites at the time. In fact, they thought that that's as far as the world went. So he was actually trying to run as far away from God, as far away from the mission as God that God had called him to as possible. And worst of all, what was his purpose? To flee and leave the presence of the Lord. Man, we have people leaving the presence of the Lord and trying to run from him left and right today. And it breaks my heart, but part of the reason why they do this is because they're filled with their own agendas, and rather than saying, God, let your word be true and let every man be a liar, but they look at it. So here's a map up here, and I have two maps here of where Tarshish is versus where Joppa is, where he was, and where Nineveh is. So he's going to go and get on this sea, and yet he thinks the God who sees everything that's going on in Nineveh doesn't see his own heart, his own prophet who he speaks to directly. Oh, Christian, the Lord sees our, knows our hearts and our thoughts, and he knows what's going on in the secret. Another map that we see here. What's interesting is you see his direct route. And I don't want to steal the thunder from a few weeks from now. But you know, what is another people group that the Jews hated? In the Samaritans. Well, why? Well, they could have been part Assyrian, part Jewish people, that the Assyrians had actually taken over that area. And so this hatred had went through, but they had actually shared Jonah's missions trip that God would take him to and that he would reluctantly eventually go to would lead to repentance. Third point that we're going to look at here is God knew exactly where Jonah was. The Lord knows exactly where you and I are. And look, sometimes that, for some of us, that hits on different levels. Some of us, we're broken and hurting. Some of us, man, we're walking with the Lord today and it feels great. Some of us, we know that there's sin in our life that we need to give up. Some of us, God is calling to more, and he knows exactly where we are. But here's verse 4, it says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on that sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship, much like the boxes, I guess, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. You know what's interesting? I remember another story in the New Testament where there's a guy sleeping on the bottom of a boat. Jesus. But when Jesus goes to the bottom of the boat, it's to teach his disciples a lesson. He stands up and he commands the waves and the wind to still. Even at this point, I wonder what would happen if Jonah would have said, Lord God, I repent. Would you calm this storm? Verse 6 continues on. It says, so the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? They're calling him out. Here's a pagan saying, you're supposed to be a follower. What is wrong with you? Have you ever had a non-believer call you out in the way you're living before? In the way you treat people, in the way you say things? It says, arise, call out to your God. Notice it's a lower, lowercase g, because to them, they had a plethora of gods. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. A few things that we see here. First point, God calls a strong storm to attack the ship. Now, one of the things that we know here is that these Phoenician sailors, they knew what they were doing. They were strong sailors. There were storms all throughout this area. So for there to be this storm that was so overwhelming for them, they knew something was up. They knew that they needed help. Let's not dumb down the gospel to the world anymore. Amen? Do you know we live in a world that knows that they're broken? They may not admit it, but they need Jesus Christ just like you and I do. The pagan crew worked together to save each other's lives while Jonah slept. Church, we need to work together. Amen. We need to work together for the sake of the gospel. These pagan Phoenicians who didn't follow Yahweh but worship a multitude of gods cared enough about each other that they would make sacrifices to save one another's lives. And yet so often you and I, we're too prideful to even apologize to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I really think it's because sometimes we think, well, they're already Christians anyway, so it doesn't really matter. They're made in God's image. Then we see Jonah's called out by a non-believer here. How humbling is this to Jonah? He's a prophet of God. He spoke to the children of Israel. He's rubbing shoulders with Isaiah, and he's rubbing shoulder who has one of the biggest books in the Bible, and he gets one of the shortest books in the Bible. And you go through this, and now you got non-believers that are challenging him. We see Jonah is thrown into the sea, but again, it's his own doing. Verse 7, it says, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Again, they knew that this was an act of evil. Something isn't right in the camp. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come up on us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you? Notice he says, one of the first questions is, what is your occupation? Can I tell you, down my list, when I start talking to people in public, even when I invite them to church, I usually never tell them that I'm the pastor or what a pastor. Why? Because I want them to know I care about them just because I care about them and that I love them just because Christ loves them. But they say, what is your occupation? Oh, Jonah's like, oh, how am I going to explain this? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Yeah, you're fearing him enough to run away from him. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. See, it's easy for Jonah to say he fears the Lord when the storm is raging and he's about to die. But when he thinks in his own power he can run away, it doesn't really matter. The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? Do you know that God's glory is known all over the earth? That the people know the power of the Israelite God. And yet Jonah is running away from it. It says, for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I want to tell you that if you are sharing your gospel to someone, I wouldn't say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm currently running away from the Lord, but you should follow him. That's not really a great way to start. Now, sharing your testimony and saying, hey, look, here's times in my life where I've backslidden, or here's times where I've ran away from the Lord, but here's how he's been faithful. That's one thing. It says, then they said to him, what shall we do to you? For the sea may quiet down for us. For the sea grew more and more temptatious, or tempestuous. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more against them. Tempestuous. Thank you. Thank you very much. That is the English I look for. Therefore, listen to this. Where's Jonah? He's running away from God. What was his mission? To go preach to Nineveh. Church, what is our mission? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. To go there, go for make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a direct command from Jesus. Just like Jonah was called direct command to go preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't, God didn't need Jonah, but he wanted him to be included in it. Could God have caused something else to reach the Ninevites' hearts? Absolutely. But verse 14 says, therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us the innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it, done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Notice there, they give God a different reverence, don't they? Man, to have the kind of faith and life that these Phoenicians are having, where we honor God with our finances, with our marriages, with our relationships. And verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. What happens? They gave their heart to Yahweh. They forsook other gods. They vowed to him, and they said, this is the true God. Meanwhile, where's our prophet? Drowning. Few things we see here. The Phoenician sailors knew that this had to be a storm. The storm had to be an act of punishment. Why? Because they knew how to sail. In fact, the word is actually the head sailor or the head chief sailor came to Jonah. I mean, this is a skilled sailor who had probably been on the sea his whole life. This storm was, he had been in countless storms, but this was something different. Are there different things going on in our world today? Maybe God needs us to be his spokespeople. Jonah's response and answer to who he is tells us a lot about his heart. For one, he states that his nationality before his love of God. He says, I'm a Hebrew. Great. I'm so blessed to be an American. I love our country. And I'm so grateful for all that served. We are in the freest, best country in the world, no matter what we go through. Amen. But I'm a Christian before I'm any of those things. I'm a follower of Jesus. Then I'm a husband. Then I'm a father. Then I'm a pastor. Sorry, you're fourth, okay? And there's lots of things with it. But his heart here states a lot. Why? Because he was angry at God because of what the Ninevites had done and what he had seen the Syrians do. Second part is he serves God more out of fear than love, yet he still acknowledges him as Lord over all. Like, okay, God, you're Lord over all. I'm going to serve you out of a holy fear, but Lord, I don't. It's not really because I love you. It's because I just know that you could smite me. If that's your relationship with God, I'm going to encourage you to change your way of thinking. Notice John 3:16 isn't, for God so hated the world that he wanted to judge everyone. No, yes, God does judge our sin. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you die, you're lost for all eternity without him. That is the truth. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. The third thing that we see here, and this is the pagans had more of a fear of God than the prophet of God did. They actually knew that God was God. In fact, they reference him as the Lord. Before they said, Jonah, call on your God, lowercase g. Now they're praying to him and they say, oh, Lord. They're giving him lordship, The Lord wants to be Lord of our lives, right, New Baltimore? When Jesus is King of our lives, it puts everything in order. We also see the other men cared for Jonah's life and did not want to have his blood on their hands, and they called out to the Lord. These non-believers cared more for Jonah's life than I think we do sometimes for our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm saying that in my own heart. This isn't a condemning way. This is just the reality of our world today. How many of us have seen things that people write online and about other people without really thinking about it, right? Especially, how many of you are dreading this November and next November, right? It's because it's this ugly polarization, and we care more about things in our country level than we do about the kingdom of God and eternity. And guess what? There are things that we need to take a clear stand on. The right to life is not a political issue. That is a moral and biblical issue that Jesus calls us to defend the voiceless. The stuff that's happening with our kids right now and the indoctrination of trying to really sneak in and push a lot of the homosexuality and a lot of the agendas going on, that is not a political issue. That is a spiritual one. But when mom and dad aren't reading the Bible in front of the kids, when we're not leading the way in purity or holiness, and we're not or tithe or serving, if you're not serving and then we're telling our kids we're so much better than the world, I'm going to say Dwight L. Moody got challenged once in the way that he shared the gospel, and the guy came up and said, "Hey, I don't like the way you share the gospel." He said, "Well, that's great. How do you share it?" He goes, "Well, I don't." And he said, "Well, then I like the way I share the gospel a whole lot better than the way you don't." The thing that we see here is that we need to love and serve God. Last point in this section is, upon Jonah entering the sea, the men feared the Lord and gave their lives to him. Praise God that God works despite of ourselves. Amen. And the last thing we see is that God's going to provide for Jonah even when he doesn't deserve it. How many of us can think back to our lives when we didn't deserve something and the Lord was good to us? Can I tell you this? You are something that the Lord blessed us with that we did not expect. And we're grateful for that, church. So our last verse we're going to look at here is verse 17. We're going to see that God provides a great fish to save Jonah. And we're going to look at this quickly here. But it says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." I don't know about you, but that's a lot of time to contemplate and think. Jonah really couldn't move and go places. Now, he could have passed out because of the gases, and he probably smelled terrible, right? And his skin was probably bleached, and it was a whole thing, but the Lord provided for him. What do we see from this? Even though what Jonah deserved was death, God was not done with Jonah. If you're in this room today, the Lord still has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter how far away from him you are right now. It doesn't matter where you've been. God desires to use you. Look at the prophets. Elijah, what is he known as? What is he called? Or Jeremiah. Sorry, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He's telling people about God's goodness, and he's crying all the time. Why? Because life is hard. You look all through Scripture. You look at Peter. Peter went and said, "God, I'm too good to eat with those Gentiles." And Paul goes and challenges him. And before that, even the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Go and eat with those people, for you're not to call anything that I've made unclean." So even though what Jonah deserved was death, God was not done with Jonah. Second point is, Jonah was the only prophet that Jesus compared himself to because of the fact that he himself was in the tomb for 3 days. But we know Jesus rose again victoriously. It proclaimed truth and freedom. Amen? Here's a few closing questions. How would have things been different if Jonah had simply followed God's calling? Yes, we might not have the story that we have today, but we could have had a better one. we're going to see that 120,000 people repent. Oh my goodness. If that happened, let me tell you, we're going to be doing backflips, and that's hard for me to do, okay? But I'm God's going to supernaturally give me strength. But 120,000 are going to repent, and Jonah is still going to be bitter because he is still going to be angry towards things that happened to him in the past. If you are angry and bitter and holding on to things that have happened, let today be the day Jesus sets you free. Do we see others as made in the image of God and worth being saved, even if they have hurt us? For some of us, it might be whole people groups that the Lord needs to break down our walls. Maybe it's racism. Maybe it's just men in general. If women, I want to say this. There's a lot of awful things that have happened. And I hear stories and my heart breaks as someone who has two little girls and a wife that I love very much. But may the Lord heal your heart in such a way that you find freedom and joy in Him. Don't let the enemy have that foothold anymore. And is God calling you to do something that you are resisting? And maybe it's turning around and repenting from something that is hard to do, and you think, well, God, this is not easy, or maybe this won't work. Is God big enough to trust? Is God big enough to trust in sharing the gospel with someone else? Amen. Let's go to Lord in prayer. And as we do that, if we could have Jeff and Veronica come up here. And I'm going to ask something a little out of ordinary here. If we could have the worship team come up too. And if we could just end with the second song we did and Cornerstone. We're going to do a little extended time of worship here today. As I mentioned, when I came in here, I just felt a heaviness in a lot of hearts. And church, how many of you want to be a church that's set free to serve Jesus Christ? That's my heart's desire for you. And so as we sing this song, The Battle Belongs in Cornerstone, if you just need to come up to the altar and surrender, get right. If you need prayer, you can come up and Jeff or Veronica will pray for you. But whatever it is, let this be a time that we get with Jesus. So Jesus, we ask that as we sing this song again and realize the power belongs to you, Lord, that you would be the one to receive all the glory and power and might. Father, I want to see people come to know Christ in Alliance and New Baltimore and Canton and Hartville and in the surrounding communities. And Lord, I know that there's so many times that fear cripples me, or the things that I've done in the past, or anger or whatever it is, or just the busyness with life. But Lord, your great name is worth being known. And Lord, would you work in our church? In your precious name, Lord. Would you heal hearts right now? Amen. Let's stand as we just worship Him. And if you need prayer, just come forward, even if you just need to pray alone.